So this is the last week of weekend of summer. Can I get an amen from the parents? Any parents? So the last weekend of summer, and you know, it's kind of comes to a close. And basically what we've been learning all summer is how to be people that give out good vibes. We learned about not complaining. We learned about encouraging others. We learned about generosity. We learned about positivity. We learned about telling the truth. We learned about having a quiet time. We learned about being humble. Do you remember all those? Okay. If you don't, you can go back to the app. You can listen again. But in our final message, what I want to deal with is the issue of contentment, because people that are content are happy people that give out good vibes. So most people, most of you would say, if I asked you, do you want to be happy? Would you say, yeah, I want to be happy. Okay. You don't look that happy, okay? Here's the thing. Hopefully you want to be happy. If you don't want to be happy, you're a little strange, but we still love you anyway. But by definition, to be happy is a feeling of contentment. To be happy is a feeling of contentment. But how do we achieve this feeling of contentment so that we can be happy and give out good vibes to other people and show people who Jesus is? So what I'd like to do this morning is I'd like to look at this issue of contentment. And we're going to start with this. Contentment starts with a relationship with the Lord. Contentment starts with a relationship with the Lord. Proverbs 15:30 says this, "The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and good news refreshes the bones." Good news refreshes the bones. So what actually is good news? And for us as believers, we realize the good news comes from the scriptures, and the good news is rooted in the gospel message. If you've been here for a while, or and you are a believer, or if you are a believer, maybe it's your first time here, but if you're a believer, you know what the good news is. And the good news is this, that we are all sinners in need of a Savior. And the good news is that Jesus is willing to die on the cross to pay the price for our sins. Jesus rose again to prove that he is God. And the scriptures tell us this. The good news is all who believe will have eternal life. All who believe will have eternal life. And I personally don't believe that you could ever totally experience true contentment without confidence in eternal life, without a relationship with Jesus. I don't believe that you can truly be content. And I do truly believe this. I believe that if you think you're content because of the things in this world, what you've accomplished, the things that you have, if you think you're content because of those things, eventually, at some point, you will hit a wall. Whether you hit the wall as like you're down and out and you're like, oh man, I'm not content because things are going terribly, or whether you hit the wall that everything is going great and then you're just like, I still don't feel that content. Okay, whether it's in prosperity or in poverty, you're going to eventually hit the wall and you're going to say to yourself, why am I not content? Why am I not content? In Philippians chapter 4, we have the Apostle Paul. He's sitting in jail. Some of you know this. I've referenced this passage so many times. I can't even count how many times I've used this passage. But in Philippians chapter 4, picking up in verse 11, he says, "Not that I have speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content." So the Apostle Paul, serving the Lord, thrown in jail for preaching the gospel, he is in jail right now and he's saying, I've learned to be content. And then he says this, "I know how to be brought low and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." So what the Apostle Paul is teaching us here is our contentment isn't based on our circumstance. So Paul's saying like, hey, I know what it's like to live large and I know what it's like to be brought low. I know both. Okay, I know both, but I know the secret to contentment isn't living large. And I know the secret to contentment isn't being brought low, but I know the secret to contentment is my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So no matter what my circumstance is, no matter what my circumstance is, I can be content because I have a relationship with the Lord. And in that relationship, I draw strength. I draw strength. So basically, what we have to realize about contentment is this. It has to start with our relationship with the Lord. It has to start with our relationship with the Lord. Now, some of you have a relationship with the Lord, and you're not feeling that content. Maybe you're just like, I know you talk about that stuff. I know the scriptures say that, but I don't fully feel content. Like, things are wrong. And we're going to discuss some of those issues that come up, why we don't feel content. But what I want to do is this. Our relationship with the Lord is the starting point for contentment. But I don't know if you realize this. The scriptures actually teach that other things do actually bring contentment, okay? The relationship with the Lord is the anchor to our contentment, but other things kind of like bolster that and actually make us content. Because some people think like, oh, I have a relationship with Jesus and I'm going to be content. But what happens is now you have to enter into this relationship, and in the relationship you work with the Lord and the Lord works with you and things happen in your life. So we can find the next thing. So the starting point is the relationship with the Lord, but then the next thing is this. We can find contentment in having wisdom. Proverbs 3:13 says this, "Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding." Blessed, if you remember, is also translated happy, okay? Blessed is happy. So happy is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. Happy, remember, happy is a feeling of contentment. Happy is a feeling of contentment. So what the proverb's saying here is this. If you find wisdom, you're happy. And then in Proverbs 3:18, it says this. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. Okay, so basically what the Proverbs are saying is there's a degree of contentment when you gain wisdom. Well, what is that wisdom? Wisdom from the Lord. Obviously, that's what the Proverbs are talking about. Some of you might remember this. If you're over 50, you probably remember this. But a few years ago, I came across this study. And they talked about the different age groups and how happy each age group was. And it was, to my surprise and many of your surprise, the happiest age group is the age group over 50. Does anybody remember that? Okay. And some of you, when you're younger, you're like, how can people over 50 ever be happy? Okay. That's never going to happen. Okay. And we look at that and we say like, oh, wow, like people over 50 are happy. I found out something else in that study. The saddest or the least happiest age group is actually my age group, 40 to 49. So if you're in my age group, okay. But then I thought about this. Why would the age group over 50 be the happiest age group? And I think it has to do with wisdom. I think it has to do with wisdom. And I think what happens is this. People over 50 have a lot of life experience, a lot of wisdom. They've been around for some time, and they've learned how to deal with discouragements, how to accept failure, how to enjoy different seasons of life. They've looked at life and said, you know what? Okay, yeah, I went on a great vacation and I'm coming home and now I'm going to go back to work and that's fine. And like, you know, maybe there'll be another vacation. Maybe there won't. It's no big deal. You learn how to. But when you're younger, right? When you come home from vacation, you're like, oh man, I wish I was still on vacation. Like, this stinks. I hate my regular life. Okay? And then you go back to your regular life and then you kind of trudge through it a little bit, right? But here's the thing. Older people over 50, I can't say older people, people over 50 have gained some sort of wisdom and learned how to experience life and learned how to take the good, disregard the bad. So the truth is, when we have wisdom, we have more of a sense of contentment. We're happier. We are blessed to have wisdom, and in wisdom there's a sense of contentment. You're like, okay, I know how this works. I know how life is. I know that this equals this. I know these things. So there's a sense of contentment. The next thing that we can find contentment is in our accomplishments. Proverbs 13:19 says it this way. A desire fulfilled is sweet to the soul. A desire fulfilled is sweet to the soul. Now, I don't know if you realize this, but we were made to work and produce. When God put Adam and Eve in the garden, remember, they were called to tend the garden, to work the garden. Work was not the punishment, right? The punishment was that work would be hard now, that weeds, thorns, and thistles would be in the land. And that was the punishment. Work was something we're actually created to do. So when we accomplish things, right, there's a sense of happiness. There's a sense of contentment. We look at our lives and say, I've accomplished this or I've accomplished that. And we have a sense of contentment. Think about it this way. When God created his creation, right? It says he was pleased. He looked at his creation and said, it was good. Think about life. When you accomplish things, when you move forward in your career, when you graduate from some institution, when you fix something, when you see a project through, when you finish raising your children, when you finish or complete a season of life, there's a sense of accomplishment. You look back and you say, you know what? I feel good. I feel happy. I feel content about what I've just done. Think about it with little children, right? They come up to you, they make their little craft for you if you're a parent, and they show you that little craft, and you look at it and you say, oh, good job. And they're so happy, right? Not only because of the encouragement, but because they took the initiative, they went and made something and accomplished something. God designed us to feel a sense of contentment and happiness when we actually accomplish things. So think about this. If the cornerstone, if the anchor of our contentment is our relationship with the Lord, here's what happens. If some of you are sitting here thinking, like, okay, I have a relationship with the Lord, but I'm not content. Well, here, see what, where this is going? If you're not pursuing wisdom, if you're not accomplishing things, that contentment can be robbed from you. Yes, you have your relationship with the Lord, but you're not pursuing how he wants you to live. The next thing that we can find contentment in is treating others well. Proverbs 12:20 says this, deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil. But listen to this, it says, but those who plan peace have joy. Those who plan peace have joy. Joy, happiness, contentment. As Christians, we should always be thinking of things that we could do to bring peace. We should always be thinking of things that we could do to bring peace. Some ways we treat others well are the things that we talked about in our Good Vibes series, right? Things about like generosity, being an encourager, being truthful, being humble. There are also things that we didn't cover, right? Like forgiving others, being kind and compassionate towards others, being patient with others, treating others well. Basically, how you want to be treated. Remember the golden rule, do to others as you would like them to do to you. The truth is this. When you do that, here's what happens. You feel a degree of contentment. You feel a degree of happiness. Along with that, we should always be thinking of the words that we say and how we can bless other people with those words. Proverbs 15:23 says this, to make an apt answer is a joy to a man, and a word in season, how good it is. A word in season, how good it is. You know, you could treat others well with just the words that you say, the encouraging things that you say to other people. Think about the people you want to be around. Are they people that are always complaining, always negative, always saying negative things, always being critical? Do you want to be around those people? No, if you're normal, you run from those people, okay? You don't want to be around those people. But we want to be around people that are encouraging, that have a word that makes us feel good about ourselves, who we are in the Lord, encourage us. Well, that's what we need to do. When we do that, here's what happens. When we treat others well, we're trying to achieve peace and we'll bring joy to them, which actually leads to personal contentment. Because at the end of the day, right, when your head hits the pillow, you could say, you know what? I treated other people well today. I said kind things to people. I did the right thing in view of them to help them. I treated them well. So you feel happy. You feel blessed. You feel content. Like, I did the right thing. Which brings us to the next way that we find contentment, and that is in obedience. Now, in Luke chapter 11, Jesus says, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it and do it. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. It's obedience. This is tough, right? This is the biggest thing. This is the tough thing about our Christian walk because it's obedience, right? Remember when you were a little kid, that was the tough thing, being obedient to your parents. And when you're a little kid, like you're trying to be obedient, right? But you're wondering. You're wondering, right? You're processing things as a child, right? My parents told me to do this, and I don't really want to. I don't really like it. I don't really feel like it. And some of you are still saying that, right? My parents told me to do this, to be obedient, and I don't fully understand why. If there's any kids in this crew here, here's what I want to tell you. You might not understand it now, but they're teaching you obedience so that you will feel blessed, okay? Because what Jesus tells us is this, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. What that means is happy are those who hear the word of God and keep it. God designed his word not to be overbearing rules for us, but he designed his word to say, hey, walk this way and you're going to be happy. Walk this way, and you're going to be blessed. Let me just ask you a question. Have you ever sinned? Please don't answer that out loud, okay? Or give us details, okay? If you've ever sinned, how did you feel after it? How did you feel after you sinned? Maybe a day later, maybe a week later, maybe a month later. How did you feel? I would venture to say, if you're sensitive to the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, you probably felt a sense of guilt, a sense of shame, and not contentment, okay? You probably were not content. You probably were not happy. I would even venture to say that even if your sin that you committed helped you advance in some way, and at that time you were like, oh, cool, like I advanced in this way, eventually you're going to be like, you know what? I did the wrong thing. I shouldn't have done that. I'm not content. I'm not happy with the fact that I didn't obey what the Lord told me to do. See, when we obey God and do the right thing, we're content no matter what the results. Let me just paint a picture for you. No matter what the results, that means this. You do what God says no matter what the results are. Meaning this, sometimes we look at a situation and we know the right thing to do, and we know the right thing to do at that time might actually seemingly harm us. We know our non-Christian friends and coworkers and schoolmates and family members might say, that's a dumb thing to do. Why would you ever do that? Well, we know that when we obey God's word, we're blessed. Okay? We might not understand it right in that moment, but we know, okay, you know what? God says I'm blessed. So if God says I'm blessed by doing it, I'm going to trust him. Remember, he is the one that saved us. He's the one who's laid down his life for us. So when we do the right thing, even when we think, it's going to be easier to do the wrong thing, or I don't know if I'll really be blessed if I do the right thing, we have to realize that obedience brings contentment. Finally, we can find contentment in our legacy. Now, this is an interesting one. Proverbs 10:1, it says this, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. Proverbs 23:24-25 says this, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. Those of you who have children realize that legacy is very important, okay? Legacy is important, and you know, maybe first you might think of your legacy in this way. Like, I want to do a good job so people look at me and say, that person did a good job. That might be one of your motivations. It's not a totally wrong motivation, but it shouldn't be the motivation. Those of you that have adult children feel a sense of contentment when you see your adult child walking with the Lord, making wise decisions, accomplishing things in life, treating others well, being obedient to God. Wouldn't you say that? Those of you who have adult children, wouldn't you say, like, when you see that, you're like, oh, I feel a sense of contentment, okay? It's not even a sense of pride, like, I did a good job. It's a sense of, I feel content, like knowing that they're doing the right thing. And here's the reason why. Here's the reason why. We don't only try to leave a legacy to, like, make ourselves look good. We don't only try to leave a legacy, and this should be our main thing, but we don't only try to leave a legacy because it brings glory to God, but we try to leave a legacy because we know that the person that we're pouring into will be content when they do all these things. You get that? So if you are a parent of an adult child now, you're content because you see them content. You get that? You're content because you're like, okay, I passed this down. Now they're living a life of contentment as well. That's one of the great benefits of leaving a legacy. So now that we know how we can find contentment, Christ is our anchor, and we go through all these things, how do we share this inner contentment with other people and spread good vibes? Now, this whole series, we've been talking about this, spreading good vibes, shining the light before other people, Jesus calls it, telling other people about Jesus. We want to show people who Jesus is. And the result of contentment, here's what happens. The result of contentment is something we called happiness. And there are two things that happy people do. And what I want to do is I just want to close out this series with these last two things that I believe that happy, content people do. Because what's going to happen is this. You're going to live out what you're feeling inside, right? You're going to live out what you're feeling inside. It's actually hard to live out something that you're not feeling. So the first thing that happy people do is this. They live well. They live well. Proverbs 15:15 says this. The cheerful of heart has a continual feast. Okay? That's not saying the cheerful of heart are always partying. Okay? What it's saying is this. The cheerful of heart has a continual feast, meaning they live well. A person that's not happy puts out bad vibes, right? They're negative. They have a hard time enjoying life. They could even go somewhere that's a great vacation. They could do something that normal people would be like, this is fun. I'm happy. I'm content. And they go there and they're not. Okay? They're not. It's not the place, right? It's not the activity. It's not what they're doing. It's not even the people they're with. There's something going on here that they're not content. So they're not living it out. But a person that is content, that is happy and positive, and they have an outlook. They enjoy each day. They look at each day to enjoy it. They look forward to the days ahead. They practice the things we learned in this series. They're that type of person. They just live well, right? This is what people do. And let me just tell you this. This is not just about pleasing the Lord, okay? That's a huge part of it. I mean, a huge part of this is pleasing the Lord, but it's actually living the way that God designed you to, so you'll actually be content and actually be pleased with the life that you're living. Here's what happens, is the inner is coming out. And if you're that person, the inner contentment shines through in your good vibes. This is helpful to you, but it's helpful to others as well. Listen to Proverbs 17:22. It says this, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. So not only is it blessing and sending out good vibes to other people, but guess what? A joyful heart is good medicine for you. Do you realize that? I don't know if you know this, but and I've referenced these before, but there's been studies that show that happy, positive people are physically and emotionally healthier. Do you realize that? Happy, positive people are physically and emotionally healthier. But then people always say, well, how can I be happy if I don't have a lot of money, if I don't have a lot of stuff, if I don't have a lot of things, if everything didn't go my way, if I didn't get the promotion, how can I be happy? Well, we just talked about that. The anchor of your happiness or your contentment needs to be the relationship with the Lord. And then going the way that he desires you to go. So happy people live well. The second thing, and this is an interesting one, happy people, they not only live well, but happy people actually smile. And this is pretty funny because it happened in the 8:30 service. As soon as I smiled, all of you people that aren't smiling, you're like, like, because a smile is kind of contagious, isn't it? A smile is kind of contagious. And the truth of the matter is, Proverbs 15:13 says it this way, a glad heart makes a cheerful face. Okay, I'm not making this stuff up, okay? I'm not just like, happy people smile, because that's what happy people do, okay? A glad heart, what's going on inside, makes a cheerful face. Makes a cheerful face. Have you ever come across a person that just looks miserable and mean? Have you ever? Oh, they're the worst, okay? You don't even, like, you see them coming. You're like, oh, where am I going to go? Like, you don't even want to be near them, right? And some people, they're just, they just don't look happy, okay? And you just don't want to be around them. You're not drawn to them. You're thinking, stay away from them. Chances are, they're not very happy. You probably wouldn't want to be around them. And guess what? If you're that person, you might be wondering, like, why don't people want to be around me? It's because you look like this. You know, like, that's, and, you know, and I know some of you might struggle with this because you might feel contentment and feel happiness, but it doesn't show on your face. I don't really know what to tell you at this point, okay? Because the Bible tells us, like, that cheerful heart will be displayed on your face, okay? So here's the thing. What you need to do is you need to think about this. You know what? I'm happy. I'm content. It should show on my face. You know, people should be drawn to that. That's the type of person that's going to give out good vibes. I can tell you what. Through my entire life, I can name people that I've been drawn to just because of their countenance, just because of their countenance. I'm like, I like that person. I want to be around them, okay? Like, wherever it might be, a speaker, might be a friend, might be somebody, but you just are drawn to those people because they're not repelling you by making you think that they're upset, they're angry, they're going to yell at you, whatever it is. So happy people smile. I want to read you this poem, and this is in closing. It's from the author Dale Carnegie, and he talks about smiling, and he wrote this poem about smiling, and here's what it says. This is about a smile. It costs nothing, but creates much. It enriches those who receive without impoverishing those who give. It happens in a flash, and the memory of it sometimes lasts forever. None are so rich they can get along without it, and none so poor but are richer for its benefits. It creates happiness in the home, fosters goodwill in the business, and it is the countersign of friends. It is rest to the weary, daylight to the discouraged, sunshine to the sad, the nature's best antidote for trouble. Yet it cannot be bought, begged, borrowed, or stolen. For it is something that is no earthly good to anyone till it is given away. And if in the busyness of the world, some of the people you meet should be too tired to give you a smile, may we ask you to leave one of yours, for nobody needs a smile as much as those who have none left to give. Think about that for a second. As we close this summer, here's what I want you to remember. Show people the sun by giving out good vibes, but do this all year long.